Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 26, Wonderful Krishna. Today, text number 21. Word meanings, yea, those persons who, etasmin, unto this child, mahabhage, most auspicious, pritim, affection, kurvanti, execute, manavaha, such persons, na, not, araya, their enemies, abhi bhavanti, do overcome, etan, those who are attached to Krishna, Vishnu Pakshan, the demigods, who always have Lord Vishnu on their side, Iva, like Asura, the demons. Ya etasmin mahabhage, pritim kurvanti manavak, narayo bhibhavankyetan, Vishnu pakshani vasura, ya etasmin mahabhage, pritim kurvanti manavak, narayo bhibhavantyetan, Vishnu pakshani vasura, ya etasmin mahabhage, pritim kurvanti manava, narayo bhibhavantyetan, Vishnu Pakshani Vasura. Ladies. Naitasmin Mahabhage, Pritim Kurvanti Manava, Narayo Vibhavam Ketan, Vishnu Pakshani Vasura, Yaitasmin Mahabhage, Pritim Kurvanti Manava, Narayo Bhibhavankyetan, Vishnu Pakshani Vasura. Translation. Demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to all auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. Purport. Srila Prabhupada has especially indicated in this connection that just as Lord Krishna's associates could not be defeated by Kamsa, so his modern-day devotees will not be defeated by the demoniac opponents, nor will the Lord's devotees be defeated by the internal enemies, the lusty materialistic senses. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Yaitasmin mahabhage pritim kurvanti manavaha narayo bhibhavanti etan vishnu pakshan vibhasuraha. Demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to all auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. So where this verse appears earlier, there's no purport by Srila Prabhupada. The translation is essentially the same, a little bit different. So this is Garga Muni talking about Krishna and his name-giving ceremony. Just about finished. Nanda Maharaj quoting Garga Muni, talking to the men, cowherd men of Vrindavan. So this verse is about always being protected by Krishna. He's telling him, you don't have to worry, because anyone who has priti purvakam, if you have priti, affection for Krishna, what does it say about Krishna? Mahabhagi. He's most auspicious. So he's so auspicious. If you just love him, then you'll always be protected. Because Vishnu Paksham, this is a nice word, paksha, Vishnu Paksham, has those who have Vishnu on their side. Vishnu, or paksha means side. There's one verse that talks about Krishna sometimes pulling the side of the hair of the other cowherd boy. That word, paksha, is used there. So that kind of side is there. And paksha also means bird. So apparently the idea is that birds have two sides or two wings. In fact, there's one place where the translation of the word paksha, which means protection also, is, it means just like a bird protects with its wing. So this is the idea, paksha, the side. So whoever has Krishna on their side, they don't have to worry. Jayatas pandu putranam yesham pakshe janardana. Prabhupada quotes this. I think it's a saying. I'm not sure if it's actually a verse from somewhere. It doesn't give any citation. Jayatas pandu putranam. Victory is on the side of the sons of Pandu, the Pandavas. Yesham pakshe janardana, because they have Janardana on their side. This is quoted in the verse. Of course, when Krishna came, one of the reasons he came was to give protection. So here's an early indication by Garga Muni. Krishna will give protection to those who are priti, those who have affection for him. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya tradushkritam. So pritranaya, or traya, this word, trayate mahato bhayat. Neha vikrama nasho sti pratyavaya vidyate. Swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement in Krishna consciousness can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Trayate mahato bhayat. So traya also means to give protection. So Kshatriya, this word kshatriya is related to that. To deliver from harm. Kshat. Prayate. So anyway, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we get some indication that Krishna will give protection. And the outcome of the battle kind of revealed right in the beginning. We gave a hint who's going to win this war. Tata Shvetar Haryar Yukte Mahati Sandane Stital. Get a nice description. First, Bhishma, you know how it begins with Duryodhan is speaking to Dronacharya. Of course, Sanjaya is relating this. He's getting transcendental vision by the mercy of Vyasadeva. So he's telling what's going on there. So first we hear Duryodhan, he's trying to encourage his side. And one of the things he says is, now you all support Grandfather Bhishma. And first they're all enlivened and they blow their conch. Bhishma blows his conch shell and everybody gets excited, ready for battle. But then it says that Krishna and Arjuna enter onto the scene. Tata Shvetar Haryar Yukte Mahati Syandane Stito. Nice picture there. It says, Krishna and Arjuna, Madhavas Pandavas Chaiva, Shanko, what is it? Divyo Shanko, yeah, the most important word. Divyo Shanko Pradadmatu. First it says they enter into the midst of the armies, between the two armies, on a chariot, Mahati Syandane, means a great chariot. We can just imagine Arjuna's chariot. We know Arjuna has all kinds of celestial weapons. So his chariot, where did he get his chariot? Does anybody know? He got all his weapons from somewhere, from the sun god maybe, or I don't remember. So he has these celestial weapons. So he has a great chariot, Mahati Syandane Stito. So there's Krishna and Arjuna, Madhava, Pandava, they're situated on this chariot. And it's Shvetarhaya, it's drawn by white horses. I've always had an attraction to white horses. Maybe it's from watching The Lone Ranger as a kid. Hi-O Silver. So four white horses. You can just imagine how beautiful, pulling this great chariot. So Madhava and Pandava. So even the word Madhava, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has different names, and they all have significance. Srila Prabhupada and all other commentators, they all always mention, while Krishna's being called this, it has significance for this reason or that. I was just thinking this morning, it's actually Sanjaya who's speaking this, but of course he's being inspired by Vyasadeva. Ultimately Vyasadeva will write this down. So Vyasadeva's understanding, Madhava, Krishna is called Madhava here. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. For a long time I was thinking, how does this mean, the husband of the goddess of fortune? And I just came across it the other day, and I thought, duh, yeah. Ma, Ma means mother. Ma is Mother Lakshmi. Now the Dava part, I don't know about that. Dava means husband, I found out. So Madhava means the husband of Ma, Ma Lakshmi. So the husband of the goddess of fortune is Madhava. So Madhava Pandava, Divyo Shanko. So when Bhishma blew his conch, it wasn't described as Divya. Divya is transcendental. So already there's bad sign, bad omens for the other side. Duryodhan might as well hang it up now because he's finished. And of course, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there will always be victory. Wherever is Krishna and Arjuna, yatra yogeshwaro Krishna. So Krishna and Partha, Dhunurdhara, Partha, who's Arjuna, who's carrying the bow, bearer of the great bow, Gandiva bow. Tatra shrir vijayo bhutir. So shri, vijay, victory. So that's Krishna is always going to win. Krishna's side is always going to win. So we have to take shelter of Krishna. So sometimes the question comes up, are we supposed to be afraid and call out to Krishna because of devotee? In many places we hear, devotee is, even in Bhagavad Gita, Abhayam Sattvasam Shuddhi, beginning of the 16th chapter, the qualities of the goodness, the devotees. What does Krishna say? Daivi Sampad Vimokshaya. So they're Daivi, these again, Daivi, transcendental. Vimokshaya, these qualities lead to liberation, those of that the devotees have. So the very first one is Abhayam. The devotee is supposed to be fearless. So why should the devotee be calling out to Krishna? I didn't find it, but I think in the Gajendra, either in the purport or in his prayers, there's some idea that he feels a little uncomfortable, that I'm bothering God, basically, with my problems. This crocodile's got my leg, and Vishnu's probably with Lakshmi, and here I am calling him here to help me out. A little embarrassed by that. So, is this a devotee's position? I shouldn't bother Krishna? But, of course, we see it so many places, this idea is there of taking shelter of Krishna, calling out to Krishna. Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. That's what the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, they chant on their beads. We take shelter, I think that's the mantra, right? Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Krishna is my shelter. So, and, of course, I just came across this the other day. Actually, I was listening to, there's a really nice set of lectures, Prabhupada, in 22nd Avenue, November, December 1966. Prabhupada speaks in the morning on Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's like 30-some-odd lectures. And Prabhupada he's speaking on the 20th chapter of Madhya Lila, which is Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatana Goswami, which of course has a lot of substance. There's a lot of material there. Talks about all the different, the six kinds of incarnations and so many things. So at one point in one of those classes, Prabhupada talks about chanting. And he says, so you can chant Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, he mentioned that song. Or Hare Krishna, whatever. So Prabhupada gave us this. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said this is one of the things that he chanted. So what is in this prayer? Rakshama, Krishna, protect me. Ram, Krishna, Krishna, Rakshama. And also Rama Raghava, Rakshama. I don't want just Krishna's help. I want Ram's help too. I want them both to protect me. So the devotee naturally does that. We have the Narayan covetous shield, of course, and the Mother Yashoda, she would do things for Krishna's protection. But even the devotees, they call out for Krishna's protection. So Srila Prabhupada in one purport, he explains that the devotee has to call out to Krishna because this material world is a dangerous place. And by our constitution, he says, this has to do with the constitutional nature of the living entity. We always have to have shelter. Either we take shelter of Maya, or we take shelter of Krishna. But what happens when you take shelter of Krishna, then the fear goes away. Abhaya charanara vindore. So the material world is a dangerous place, but when we take shelter of Krishna, then the fearlessness comes. So the devotee is actually fearless because he takes shelter of Krishna. Even we can say, of course, we could, like everything else in Krishna consciousness, there's a progression. For ourselves, we actually feel fearful. And even in the Braja Lila, the residents of Vrindavan, they seem to be fearful. But we know that this is Yogamaya's acting in Krishna's pastimes, because these are the highest devotees. So if one of the qualities of a devotee is fearlessness, then they have it completely in full. But when Indra starts sending some Vartika clouds and thunderbolts, they say, help, Krishna, protect us. That's what they say. And what does Krishna say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'll protect you. So why are they afraid? So that Krishna can step forward as the hero and protect them. And to increase, of course, their priti, their love for Krishna. So Krishna creates these fearful situations for the residents of Vrindavan. And even the devotees, they're put in fearful situations. But when they take shelter of Krishna, the fear goes away. So this idea of, you know, is this a material to want to be protected by Krishna? Well, it doesn't seem to be, because it's exhibited by the greatest devotees. Maybe there's a momentary, Krishna creates momentary fear, but the devotee takes shelter of Krishna. Samashrita ye padapallava pravam mahatpadam punyasho marade. Samashrita, ashrita, and sharanam, similar ideas. Samashrita ye padapallava pravam mahatpadam punyasho marade. Vavam udir vatsapadam padam 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 yadipadam natesham. Lord Brahma says, for those who take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, there's not danger at every step. The second part of the verse says, there's danger at every step in this material world, but natesham, not for them. Not for whom? Samashritaye padapallavapalavam. Those who take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna. For them, the material ocean just sinks up, shrinks up. It's the size of the ocean, the suffering of this material world, or the danger of this material world. It's an ocean of danger. You know how big the ocean is. It's very big. So an ocean of danger shrinks down into the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf. The Vaishnava, or the Vedic scriptures, they like this analogy. If you want to talk about something small and insignificant, it's the water in the hoofprint of a calf. There's another verse that says, what is that verse? Brahmananda bhavedesha chaitparadha gunikrita naiti bhakti sukham budhe. Oh no, that's not the right verse. Anyway, butsabadam, the word is used again to give the same idea as the verse I was just quoting. That compared to Brahmananda, the happiness of Brahman realization, the happiness of Krishna consciousness, that's compared to an ocean, comparing an ocean to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf. Again, we have this metaphor. So something very insignificant. So maybe there's danger in this world, but it's insignificant. The devotee can easily cross over. Even Kunti Devi, I was thinking, it's interesting. Usually the last line of this verse is not really the part we talk about. But in this Vipadas Santu Tashashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Vibho Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. So she says, you know, may these calamities come again and again, because when they come, then we get to see you. So there's usually, we don't say anything else. We just... That's the part we quote. But the last line says, but when we see you, then we don't have to take birth again in this material world. So someone might think, well, that's actually the purport to the verse. She's talking about we get liberation. But do we really think that that's Kunti Devi's point? No. Maybe that's the point for me. I might think, yay, I'll get liberation. No more suffering in this world. Give me by Kunta. Give me anything. Just get me out of here. So I may have that bhava at this stage in my Krishna consciousness, where I just want to stop the suffering. But not Kunti Devi, she doesn't. No, that's all right, I'll suffer as long as I get to see you. So there may be fearful situations also for a devotee. But the devotee gets to call out to Krishna. That in itself is ecstasy. Calling out to Krishna. I was listening to a lecture by... Satchinandana Swami. And at the end of the lecture, I remember the question at the end. The devotee said, oh, I know what it was. He quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the lecture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when we chant japa, we should be joyful. So the devotee asked at the end, well, how can we be joyful when we're supposed to be like a child crying out to the mother? How are these both things there? So Satchinanda Swami didn't actually answer the question. He says, when you'll realize it someday. Something that his answer was something like that. So I was thinking, because calling out to Krishna, that is actually joyful, isn't it? That's bhava, making that connection to Krishna, because it's an intense connection. There's feeling there. The more deep the feeling is, then the deeper the ecstasy is. So a child crying out to the mother, actually, if we call out to Krishna in that mood, we'll feel happiness. Because we'll feel safe, we'll feel Krishna's protection. Prabhupada gives the example that the child is protected by the parent because the child is completely surrendered. He doesn't have to worry about anything. That I also heard on a tape recently, Prabhupada said. The child, he's afraid, he can't cross the street, so many cars are coming by. But he holds on to his father's hand, then he's not afraid anymore. Now everything's, all anxiety is gone. As soon as he holds on to the father's hand, then all anxiety is gone. Because anxiety and fear, samudvigna diyama sabgraha, samudvigna, this is also fear and anxiety. These are corollaries, they go together. Anxiety is a kind of fear. Panic is an intense kind of fear. So these things are all related. So naturally we're afraid. Bhaya is ever present in this world. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanam etat pashubi naranam. This verse is from the Hitopadesh. I just came across it in the fourth canto. He probably quotes this, and he says, in the Vedic literature it is said, and he quoted this verse. So he included the Hitopadesh, which is fairly modern, I think. Stories about animals and things. So that's where that comes from. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are common to animals and human beings. That's what it says. Dharmena hina pashubi samana pashubi naranam. A human being who doesn't have dharma, doesn't have a connection to Krishna, and is just engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then he's an animal. Unless you add that ingredient, then all you have is eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. So there may be some fear for us, residual fear, but we're not supposed to be afraid, actually. We're supposed to be getting rid of this. Just like in the beginning I quoted this, Abhayam Satvasam Shuddhi, the qualities of the devas, godly qualities. So Abhayam, so in Prabhupada's commentary, purport on this verse, he says, this is especially for the sannyasis. So what is sannyasi? So sannyasi is supposed to be the most advanced devotees. So maybe all of us aren't fearless, but the sannyasi is supposed to be fearless. And fearless for especially two things. In the principles of surrender, this also indicates that there may be some fear in taking shelter of Krishna for the neophyte devotee. So Shadanagati, the six symptoms of surrender, is to see Krishna always as my protector. So that means one must be thinking, I need protection. So actually two things. Krishna is the protector and Krishna is the maintainer. That's what someone in the superior position does to a dependent. Protects and provides. These two things especially. So the devotee is supposed to think this way, that Krishna is always going to give me protection and provide for me. So the sannyasi has to think this way. He can't think, now that I don't have a job anymore, how am I going to live? Or, especially, of course, traditionally the sannyasi would go to the jungle and meditate, or go travel there. But he couldn't be afraid. Couldn't think, oh, tigers might get me, or snakes might get me. Or actually, the jungle is a very fearful place. There's a lot that can get you there. Giant spiders and all kinds of things. So the sannyasi has to be convinced, well, if Krishna wants the snake to bite me, he's going to bite me. Krishna's in the heart of the snake, he's in the heart of the tiger and the spider and all of these things. But I've surrendered my life to him, to his service. So if he wants to protect me, he'll protect me. And if he wants something to happen to me, that's up to him. And no matter, Prahlad Maharaj says, even if you have protection, that doesn't mean you're safe. He gives different examples. You may be in a good boat, But you still not might not be safe. We can imagine what Prabhupada's example was for that. The Titanic, as he would say. They thought they had the unsinkable. What did somebody said, this is a ship that even God couldn't sink. So Krishna took the bet on that one, didn't he? So even if you're in a good boat, or even if you have a good doctor with so much medicine, doesn't mean you're going to be cured. And the parents, they do everything to protect the child, but sometimes death comes in the door, takes the child away. So we may think that we're protecting ourselves, but protection is up to Krishna. So even in a dangerous situation, Krishna can protect. So in all situations, in all cases, it's up to Krishna what happens to us. So the devotee has this conviction that I'm surrendering to Krishna. That, of course, is that's the crux, isn't it? We have our doubts. Am I surrendered enough to get Krishna's protection? In one purport, Prabhupada says, therefore, devotees, we always pray, yato yato yami tato nrisingha. Wherever I go, Nrsingadev is there with me. So why should I be afraid? That's what we're supposed to be thinking. We're supposed to be Krishna conscious. We're supposed to be thinking Krishna is with me. He's going to protect me. Sometimes we forget, but then when the danger comes, we start chanting, maybe quickly hyperventilating, chanting the Nrsingha prayers. Krishna, 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 Krishna. It's a good habit to get into. So at least we remember Krishna at these times. Huh? So that's our practice, calling out to Krishna. And devotees do this spontaneously. Again, this point I was making, because that's our nature. We're constitutionally minute. So we have these destructible material bodies. So we call out to Krishna. That's the point. We call out to Krishna for protection. And Krishna will respond. Another, I heard Prabhupada was explaining that patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna accepts what the devotee offers. And Prabhupada said, he has to accept. That's the way he feels. My devotee is offering me this. I have a situation sometimes, my granddaughter, she's eating something and she wants me to take some. And because I can't digest everything she eats, or I don't want it, I don't always take it, but then I feel a little bad because, you know, she wants some reciprocation. She's offering me something. So I may say no, but Krishna doesn't say no. Whatever it is, he has to respond. Because he's responding to the devotion. My digestion can't necessarily respond to the devotion of my granddaughter. But Krishna doesn't have to worry about that. He can swallow forest fires. Actually, she learned recently that we have fires in our stomach. That Krishna's a fire. And said, Krishna, he has a fire too because he swallowed a fire. So Krishna can swallow a whole fire, the conduit of the forest. He can swallow that up. He can take as much fire as we give. Whatever we give Krishna, he can swallow it up. He can eat the whole world. Prabhupada said that about when people said, well, Jesus Christ ate meat. Supposedly they give this argument. And Prabhupada said, well, I don't know if he did or not, but even if he did, he's so powerful, he can eat the whole world if he wants to. So Krishna, of course, he could eat the whole world. He can eat everything. And he can protect us from any danger. He can protect from anything. So that's we're supposed to be Sharanagati. We're developing this conviction that Krishna will protect us in all situations. If we have priti, priti kurvanti manava. So the verse again, ya etasmin mahabhage pritim kurvanti manava, narayo bhavanti etan vishnu pakshani vasura. Demons cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to all auspicious Krishna cannot be defeated by enemies. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, the enemies of Indra. It's interesting, Indra's always getting in so much trouble. But Krishna comes always to defeat his enemies. I've been reading Prithu Maharaj's story. So Indra again got in trouble. Stole Prithu Maharaj's 100th sacrificial horse. And he came to the sacrificial arena. There's a nice picture there. Prabhupada says there in one purport that when the demigods come, because Indra was there, they tend to float. They don't touch the ground. They don't like to touch the ground. So maybe people get apparitions. They see somebody floating with the demigod. But Lord Vishnu, he came there too, but he was standing on the earth. But he had his hand resting on the shoulder of Garuda. And Prabhupada said that's because he's not used to standing on the earth, so he had to balance himself. He's balancing himself with Garuda. Okay. Divyanga Guru?
Speaking about crying for Krishna, I was listening to a lecture. It was 1971 here in Gainesville. And Prabhupada was talking about just like when a child cries, the child is unsatisfied until he finds his mother's lap. And when he finds the mother's lap, then he's peaceful. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said, so you can take shelter of Krishna, and you can take shelter and get that peace, or you can go on crying for millions of births on many laps, many more laps. I just heard that this morning. I rewound it. I said, hey, I hear that again. That was really millions of births you can go on, and there are so many laps.
I was curious that you had brought up the name Madhava. Actually, there's such beautiful description given by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad in Ujjali Lamani and in Ujjali Lamani Kiran of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that actually all of our deities are actually Radha Madhav. We give different names according to different moods or different lila stans, wherever the deity is situated, or sometimes just according to different tastes. But each deity is Radha Madhav because the origin of the word Madhava is whenever Krishna is completely controlled by Radhika. This mood is called Dhira Lali Nayak. So all the deities in all the temples, they're standing in the pose. This Tribhanga pose is the pose of a Dhira Lalit Nayak. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasme Bhat Abhivacha Chodi Smaya Manamukambo Jam Pitambara Daraswadri Sakshat Manmat. That when Krishna reappeared after the gopis went to search for him, he reappeared in this form, standing like this. Of course, a little apologetic. But standing like this. So all the deities, actually their highest name feature is this Radha Madhava. And Srila Prabhupada very curiously and wonderfully gave us this song to sing before speaking any Bhagavatam class, Jaya Radha Madhava. So Rupa Goswami Pada said that this name refers to Krishna when he is Dhira Lalit Nayak and Radhika is in the moon of Swadina Bhatrika. I'm not describing the whole thing, but eight different moods Radhika has, primary, 360 altogether, but eight primary. One is called Swadina Bhatrika. And when she's in this mood, she completely controls Krishna. In that mood, Krishna is called Madhav and Radhika is called Madhavi. And also because Krishna chased after this mood, then this deity became the predominating deity of Sri Mayapur. So in our Mandir in Mayapur also we have Radha Madhav. Because of this fact. It's all in Ujjali Lamani and Ujjali Lamani Kira.
Another one here. Actually, for those who don't know, Nayak means hero. Dhira Lalita Nayak. So there's four kinds of heroes. So Dhira Lalita is one of them. First one mentioned in the Nectar Devotion.
So here's the dilemma that comes to me while I'm asking for Krishna for protection. We're supposed to cry like a child, so the child doesn't think about, he's not intellectually thinking whether I should cry or not. Mm-hmm. He's in danger, the child cries. And we have been trained to not to cry out to Krishna for material desires, for material protection. Although you've been given the class about, we can call out to Krishna. It's a natural thing. I think even Jiva Goswami says in the verse Anya Bhilashita, he says that the is actually refers to that's a natural thing to cry out for protection. You know, he describes it as the natural. If you have a desire to evacuate, that's not material. It's it's there, you know, so desires are there. But the dilemma is how do we take care of this intellect that comes in between? When we want to cry out from it, you know, for protection, we think, oh, I should not. And then yet we are supposed to cry out to Krishna like a child.
I was thinking, I think this is related, in the Shikshashtak, Prabhupada would quote, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaya Mama Janmani Janmani Shule. So he would quote this, I don't want wealth, women, followers, and I don't even want liberation, because he says birth after birth. But the very next verse of Shikshashtak, Ainanda Tanuja, which Prabhupada says was an ideal prayer. So there he says, please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So it sounds like asking for liberation, doesn't it? I'm suffering in this ocean of death. Please pick me up and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. So it seems like the, you know, this is what I was, you know, playing with this idea. It's one of these things where it seems almost contradictory. Even the idea that I gave a class all about one time about going back to Godhead, what we need to do to go back to Godhead. And Mathura at the end, he asked, why aren't we not supposed to want to go back to Godhead? We're just supposed to want to serve the spiritual master. But it's the natural longing of the soul to go back to Godhead. That's where we belong. We belong with Krishna back to Godhead, so we can't repress that. So it's also our natural desire to not suffer. Ananda Chimaya, we're made of Ananda. Sachira Ananda, that's part of our constitution. So we naturally have that hankering to be with Krishna and not suffer. It's this suffering is foreign to us. So in one sense, we don't have to worry about, we know we're suffering in this world. The other thing is, I forget where I was reading. Someplace I read a description was, the perfection of our sadhana, you can say, is to do perfectly what, according to the level that we're on, you can say. So my level is that I'm still a conditioned soul. So as a conditioned soul, I feel suffering. I feel the material miseries. So in this state, my present state of consciousness, there's nothing wrong with me calling out to Krishna saying, Krishna, I'm tired of suffering. I don't belong here in this world. Please protect me. Please save me. If that makes me cry out to Krishna, that's not a big problem, I wouldn't think. And eventually what our real bhava, which is separation from Krishna, of course that's there too. That's ultimately what we're trying to develop, that viraha bhakti. We're trying to call out to Krishna because just like the child is separated from the mother, and that's why the child is crying. So we're separated from Krishna. We're not seeing, where's Krishna, where's Krishna? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went completely nuts. He went completely mad when he lost sight of Krishna. So by calling out according to our present state of consciousness, what we need Krishna's comfort, and we need Krishna's protection, because we are suffering in this world. So Krishna can remove our suffering, which is, it's a disease. We're trying to be cured of this disease, so we want Krishna to cure us. And of course, what's our motivation? We want to love Krishna. We know that. That's our intellectualizing. We know that. We want to love Krishna. Otherwise, why are we doing or why are we chanting? So, I guess the answer is we shouldn't worry about it too much. We're calling out to Krishna. That's good. If we have some heart in our chanting, that's good. It shouldn't be mechanical. Give some heart. And even if that heart is not 100% pure heart, because it's not. We can't do anything 100% pure yet because we're not 100% pure. There's always going to be some tinge of our ahankar still there. But that's how it will burn off, by calling out to Krishna. Hare Parayana Prabhu.
So I was reminded of this devotee in India. I was visiting a temple. We were sitting in the temple outside. There was a sheer drop and there were rocks below. He had his 4-year-old playing there. And she was running, and I was fearful that she was going to fall. And he said, don't worry about it. So I was thinking, this must be a really advanced devotee, because he was the temple president. And I was thinking, don't worry about it. But I couldn't I couldn't handle that situation, so I recruited some people and moved some big obstacles in the way so she wouldn't fall down. But apparently she had been running around for months, years probably. And when I contrast that with myself, I'm a most fearful parent. I'm super anxious. I'm the other end of the spectrum. Constantly worrying, constantly anxious, trying to protect, trying to anticipate. And that causes me great suffering, actually. The anxiety is too much as a parent to deal with.
So yes, what are your comments? See, this is another thing. Because we have these responsibilities. We're not neglectful because we say, well, Krishna will protect. The parents' duty is to look after the children. This is another thing that comes up when you read about, I've been reading about Prithu Maharaj, so many purports about what a king is supposed to do. So king is supposed to protect the citizens also. The king has an army to protect the citizens. So a lot of times, I mean, I think, well, isn't it their karma? How can he protect? They're just going to get what their karma is there. But somehow this is their duty, and they're representatives of God. It's another whole interesting topic of Prabhupada said, king is a representative of God. Even Sanatana Goswami recognized Noah Hussein Shah as the representative of God. He wanted to know about just this Chaitanya, who is he? And Sanatana said, just you figure it out, you're a representative of God. Anyway, so the representative of God, his duty is to protect. So parents also, they're supposed to protect. It's their duty. It's their duty to protect their children. So we do what we can, but up to a point, then sometimes, no matter what we do, Krishna may still take the child away, then that's Krishna's desire. But we can't neglect that responsibility. Even ourselves, we have to protect our health, for example. Prabhupada was upset when he saw devotees were getting sick. He was giving a class and everybody was sneezing and coughing. And what's going on here? Are you not eating? You're not taking care of yourselves? This is Krishna. This body is to be used in Krishna's service. You have to protect it. Even in the, even if that's the consciousness, you know, I have to protect my child because she's a servant of Krishna, devotee of Krishna. And the king's protection, Prabhupada says, because Prithu Maharaj, when he starts speaking to the citizens, basically he starts giving class to them, he preaches to them. He tells them you have to become Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada says, because the king's first duty is to protect the citizens by delivering them from sinful life. That's how he protects them, by delivering them from sinful life. So we protect our children bodily, but we also have to protect them spiritually. Then we protect them. Paritranaya, this word pari. Pari means all around. Paritranaya sadhunam. Krishna protects them from all different angles. So we also, it's the responsibility of those who have dependents to have that mood. They're entrusted, you can say. They're entrusted to worry on Krishna's behalf. Give that protection. That's good. But there comes a point, like Srila Prabhupada, you know how he tried to take care of his family and do everything, but they weren't very appreciative. And so finally Prabhupada, he said, no, it's time to go. And he said, the point comes where you think God will take care. So one has to know when that point is. One thinks, that's what the sannyasi thinks, God will take care. The time has come. Krishna is giving me enough signs. The Prabhupada, he was very reluctant to take sannyas. I mentioned in my last class with him. The Prabhupada said, I had vowed that I would never take sannyas. I was thinking, oh, this is horrible. My Guru Maharaj is coming in a dream and telling me to take sannyas. Oh, no. So he was so hesitant. But finally he said, no, then you... Because he was so responsible. He was trying to maintain. But then he said, the point comes where you say, God will take care. Krishna gave him the intelligence when that point is. Vishkarpada?
Anecdote by the British devotees about the, I think it was Kishore in Britain, and his kid came in Prabhupada's quarters at the manor, and he was dressed like a sannyasi.
Yeah, yeah.
And Prabhupada chastised and looked at him very seriously, because actually Kishore himself, I think it's Kishore, he was thinking that Scottish devotee wanted to take sannyas sometime. Anyway, the kid was just dressed like a sannyasi, small kid, you know. Prabhupada said, no, he should never dress. He said, sannyas is serious business. So Prabhupada was probably thinking, serious business. You don't just do it, not do it. You're like, that's why, it's not like, yeah, it's horrible, but it's serious business. First day.
The first day when he came in as a little boy, he said, oh, Maharaj. And he came in, but the next day he saw him playing.
Yeah.
With his kids.
He was hitting his friends with his dunda and dropping.
Yeah.
Then probably get serious. Said he shouldn't dress like this anymore. Sannyas is very serious. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.